More used to being here and more used to worshiping God in here. Feels good. Feels good. I want to read my text and then I'll let you be seated because I know that, you know, that sometimes feels a little bit better anyway. I'm going to go to Romans 8 and 31 through 39. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I'll just read this for now. I'll refer to some other texts later. I want to say again to all of our guests, it is so good to have you here. You honor us by being here. We have some first-time guests with us, especially Brother and Sister Phelps from Defuniac Springs. It is good to have y'all with us today. Amen. And these are, they know Brother and Sister Sonye, pastoring in Defuniac. And when I first met my wife, that name, Defuniac Springs, was real quick in their list of, you know, the places they had been. My wife was very young when her dad pastored a church there. So we got to go by there, an awesome place. And if, when you're up in the panhandle, I told my wife one time, I said, if I wasn't living here, it would be the panhandle, because then I'd be close to my folks in Texas, still be in Florida, you still have the beach. There's a few things you wouldn't have. It'd be a little further to, you know, some of the amusements we have, but in Florida, life's pretty amusing all the time. People that don't live here will say, why does Florida get so many strange people? So all I can tell you is it's pretty good weather. All the bugs come out when the weather's good. I don't know. But guests, I got off track. It's good to have our guests with us today. Romans 8 and 31. What then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to all of these things? He's talking about life in the Spirit. He was mentioning we're heirs with Christ and the future glory of God. For if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Understand, there are things that will separate you from his love, but it won't separate his love from you. Realize that's not a blanket that I'm never going to fall out of love with God. Oh, I can. All I've got to do is replace it with something else. But you cannot ever get away from his love for you. Ever reaching, always. As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. I hope you are too, because that's necessary. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love which God in God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to pull you away from that ever-reaching, ever-effective love of God. Oh, why don't we raise our hands and acknowledge it right now? Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for your hand that reaches, oh God. Nothing can separate me from it, Lord. You love us too much. You love us too dearly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to say always thank you for creating an atmosphere through your praise that's from your heart. And for our guests, thank you for worshiping with us. It's important. I have a friend who had reported the other day. He said, I know when I get up in front of my congregation on this holiday weekend, I'll be lucky if there's X number of people, I don't remember the number, but what he was meaning is about less than half of these people would be gone. Someone asked me today, what do you think? And I said, you know, really, you can't look at holidays in Florida, or at least here, and predict if it's going to be a larger crowd or smaller. We've had New Year services that we were just blown out. And then we've had New Year services that it made me wonder. Did I tell them church started tomorrow or something? You know, it's, you can't predict it. But I'm glad for you that are here today on this Memorial Labor Day weekend. Memorial's in May. It starts with an M. Labor Day's in September. It starts with an L. Labor Day. I want to tell you my title, because I tell you, when the Lord moves like he is today, I really need a title. Yeah. Title keeps you there. Keeps you focused. My title is this. It's really good news for you, but your team won again last night. Your team won last night. All right. I don't know what your team is. I don't know where your mind is when I say that, but I'm just telling you, your team won last night. And that's why I'm so happy. Because, and you're wondering, what's your team? Hey, I'm staying in the Word today. My team won. You may be down, or you may be sideways. You may be halfway. But I want to tell you, he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Thank you, God, for always reigning in our life. I may have an up day, a down day, sideways day. It doesn't matter. But my God always is real, and he's always good, and he's real good. Amen. Your team won last night. Whether you were, you know, on the field, or you were sitting in the dugout, or think of all the analogies I could use, on the bench, in the with the trainer getting the injury, whatever you may be, and whatever's going on in your life spiritually, the church is moving on. I don't mean it's moving on without you. I mean we're moving on. Amen. You might feel like you're not a part of this, and you've been sidelined, and no one's noticed you, and my part hasn't been recognized. And we're real good around here at trying to recognize people for what they do well, but at the same time, we don't always get to everybody. But we must understand that God's the one that's writing the checks, and he's got everything in his hands, and he still is on the throne. And so I'm telling you, the team won. Amen. You may feel like you fumbled. You may feel like you struck out. You may feel like you didn't even make it out of the minor leagues. But your team is winning. I want to tell you, it's still moving forward. And you may feel like a failure and a loser. And you can't even live 2 days straight in a row without messing up. But the team is winning. That's what we need to know today. God is still on the throne. Thank you, Lord. Amen. With the promise of prayers being answered, you should be living the life you desire, because anything you ask, he will do it. Anything. In his conversation with the disciples, the Lord had a conversation that was several chapters long. You can read it in John, and I love every bit of it. But I often go to chapter 14, and there was one part in verse 13. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And then he said something that, of course, confused him. He said, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, he said, there's a coming together. I'm with you, but I'm going to be leaving so that I can be in you. Now, you understand there's something greater coming now. Yes. But in the midst of the conversation, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Yes. And you know what the next verse said? You'd figure with that verse right there is like a home run. What can you hit on the next one? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So look at this. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, verse 13. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You know what he's trying to get across there? If you ask anything in his name, he's going to do it. Because he said it two times. But if he had said it one time, it still means he's going to do it. But he reiterated it to let them understand there's coming a different situation here. I'm not going to be physically with you, but I am going to be in you. And he knew when he said it, they scratched their head and looked at each other and said, what is he talking about? But what he was trying to get them to understand is I'm going to do greater works than the ones you've seen me do, because I'm going to duplicate the power in every one of you, and you are going to have power through my name. And when you mention my name, I'll be there. When you call on my name, I'm going to do it for you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it for you. That always gets amens. And I'm glad. Don't quit saying amen. Those are good. We should say amen to statements like that. But we should live amen when we get into trouble. We should live like an amen when we're facing the odds that are against us. We don't feel the presence of God that we feel right now that make us say yes. You try that in the break room on Tuesday. Yes, my God reigns. A lady's going to drop her three quarters right on the floor. Turn around, look at you like you fell out of an oak tree. You said, what? My God reigns. It doesn't get the reaction in the break room it does in the church house on a Sunday. Middle of the problem, right in the very apex of your situation that's got you torn apart. Everybody that's had a job for a few months has been called into the office. And it's not always a good call. I need to see you in here. No, bring all your stuff. I just want to leave a little bit of it there. I've got to talk to you for a minute. HR is going to be sitting in on this. I remember working in Houston. And it was a job that wasn't a lifetime job. As a matter of fact, it was one of those shutdowns where you know it had an end. But the problem with the job that has an end is you may have some dates of no work, which means there's going to be subsequent no pay. And this man pulled up, and he was my foreman. And he was from Mexico, which many of the people down there were. I come very close to learning Spanish, I promise. I was doing really good. I wish I'd have pursued that. Truly, I wish I would have. But when you're around it, it's easy, and it was pretty neat. But they tried, for my sake, to speak English when they'd come up to me. And so he said, in broken English, today they lay you off. Loud and clear. Today they lay you off. So I got in the truck, because I knew what the translation of that was. And I had one prayer. I said, Lord, I've been working 7, 12s, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, all are the same when you're working 7 days a week. I was just talking to Todd about that a while ago. It's just 7 days a week is not fun. So I prayed one prayer. I said, Lord, I don't want to go home and give my wife the news that they lay me off. I want a job before I get home. And before I got to my house, I turned into this company similar to the one I was working for. And I went in there, and in about 10 minutes, I had a job. Wasn't a great job, but can you imagine the conversation was a lot better than saying, I'm out of work. Instead, I said, I'm not working there, but I'm going to work in there close to the house now. Instead of 2 hours, 20 minutes. I didn't get to the pay part. I just said, at least I got a job. See, what I've had to stand on, and I know we understand this, but when the going gets tough, all right, not the tough get going thing, but when the going gets really difficult, it's not here. This isn't hard. I mean, preaching's not even hard in this church. No, every preacher that comes here goes, it's a really easy church to preach in. Every now and then I want to say, it must have been. Inside joke, y'all. But it's when we get out past the building threshold, when we get into the real world, when you may be on the job or you may be having a discussion with your spouse that goes long and way too long and it gets heated and words are said and you wish that you wouldn't have said those first things because now you're down the line and you can't take them back and you wish things were just like it was on Sunday when we were smiling and happy and having a good time. Shh, it's quiet as a mouse in here. All right, let me just do a disclaimer here. Husbands, your wife hasn't called me. Wife, your husband hasn't called me. I don't know a thing. But I'm just talking about there's points in our life where we can go from this happy, awesome time, and suddenly swords are clanging and the shield is up and the fiery darts are raining on you, and you're wondering, oh God, can I get back to the sanctuary where I felt the presence so strongly? What did I do to get into this place? I want to tell you something, church. It is there that you need to call on the name of Jesus and expect Him to come through for you. Anything you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. Oh, we need to call on the name of Jesus. We need to learn to trust in Him. Amen. I know this isn't deep. That'd be really neat if I thought it was deep, and that way I could just stop in about 2 minutes, we'd go home. But there's more to say. Okay, just a little bit. Trying to watch the clock. Now, Acts 12, I want to just skip through this a little bit. Acts 12, 1 through 10. It tells us about Herod, the king, stretched out his hand, it said in verse 1, that he wanted to harass some from the church. He wanted to harass some people from the church. Then he went past harassment, and he decided to kill James, the brother of John, with the sword. And he looked around at the crowd when this happened. He gauged the response of the people. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. He got up to the point of John's brother James, I'm going to kill him. And oh, the people applauded. So he took one more step and took Peter. And he took Simon Peter and he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. It kind of tells you he is a little afraid of Simon, wasn't he? I think I need about 16 men to stand in front of him, because this one's wily. He's got something about him. There's something different. He didn't understand all this stuff about the anointing and all of those things. And so he put him in there and they said, we'll bring him out, you know, after the Passover. He was trying to stay religiously right with the people so he could keep them on his side, but also as a bonus to put Peter in there and kill him a little bit later. Right. Don't want to kill him now, but we're gonna. I'm on a roll here. Can you imagine this king, this foreign king, Roman king, who felt like he had that much authority that he could take God's people and just with a snap of a finger have them put to death? Peter, therefore, was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. I want you to say these words, constant prayer. Just say it one more time. Constant prayer. That right there is the answer to so much that you have need of. Not just a prayer meeting. Not just pray for me. Going through a situation, Pastor. I'll be glad to pray for you. And oh, I do. And I'm thankful that we rejoice together. And when God works out the situation, isn't it awesome? But constant prayer. There's some of us that in your life, you've got a situation like Simon Peter is in prison. One of those things that you need to shake it loose. You need to try to get a hold of God. You don't know even where to start with this. You don't know how to even get going with this. And I want to tell you, it doesn't have to have something where death is on the horizon. Just something that you are truly passionate about. Right. We were talking to the Boyds quite a bit over the past weeks. You know, there was in our house when Sister Boyd's mom was at the point of death, and we had a lot of conversations. And while my wife and I was telling them the story just of our ministry and telling us theirs and enjoyed it all, when we got through, I told my wife later, I said, we forget all the many things God has done for us. But when you start looking at this one, and then that happened, and then God came through there, and you see this path. There's one thing in common with all those things. All those things. Constant prayer. Constant prayer. I remember at that church in Groves, Texas, and such an oasis for us. I won't go on to it. You know, you've heard me many times mention Brother and Sister Meyer there. But I remember going to that church during the day because I had all day. I wasn't working because I didn't have a job. That'll cause you to pray constantly. And I would walk around that church as I prayed. I still like to walk and pray. It's just, I think that way. And I was walking around that church, and I was getting right over on that side. And I was praying. I said, and this was 1994. I said, Lord, please, I don't know. You've already let us feel that there's not an issue with us, that things haven't fallen to this direction because of us. So it seems that there's something that you've got for us, and I just want to know, Lord, when. And it was right over on that side, if it was the same building. And the Lord just kind of impressed in my mind. He said, it's very quick, and so you need to get ready. It's very soon. And I told my wife, this is a story I'd forgot about. I know I've shared it with some of you. I said, God's going to send us. I feel strongly He's going to send us back to Florida. I said, so what I'd like for you to do is pray, and I'm going to pray. And I said, I want you to tell me where you feel like God will put us. I said, I just need to find a direction. I feel like God would show us where we're aiming, where we can pray. And I got a map, and I had taken a black mark, and I put it on one of the black roads where you could, if you look close, you could see that I made a mark. You know, it was almost invisible, camouflage. I said, now I want you to just take this red pen, and I want you to circle somewhere. And she said, and the map was, you know, a small map. I mean, you know, it was, or the state was this big, but you didn't see the detail of, you know, all the towns. You just saw Orlando and Tampa and that. And she just put a circle, and Lakeland wasn't on there because it was, you know, Lakeland's not always on the map, y'all. I'm just telling you that. I'm sorry. But she made a mark, and she circled my little dot. And I said, now if you look right here on that road, there's the dot that I felt like. And I said, you've circled an area. It wasn't right here that I can remember, but it was in this area of the state, probably just south of here a few miles, but it encompassed this area. I was telling Brother and Sister Boyd about that, and I said, it was the beginning of God pushing us, carrying us here. And the day came, it was about 1 year later, and I began to feel the urgency that it was almost time. And I went to work, and I said to the Lord, I prayed, I said, God, I need to know something today. And I said, just let me know if we got to wait or if it's time, but I feel there's something that you're going to do. And so I decided to fast that one day. And it was, you know, it's a work day. You're fasting on a Monday. And you know, weary service at night, you know how we did in those days, service morning, service night. And I go to work, and I'm fasting all day. And I'm fasting, and I'm getting away from everyone on break, and I'm praying, Lord, today I pray, let it work today. And I drive home that day, and so much prayer. We'd just bound together in prayer. And I pulled up in front of the house, and as I walked up to open the screen door and walked in, my wife said, you won't believe what church is available. I said, try me. She said, Lakeland, Florida. She goes, I never thought about Lakeland, Florida. What do you think? I said, well, I'm fasting for God to give me an answer today. So I'm thinking that might be. Believe it or not, that's where we came. I'm here to tell you those things, they don't just open up. Constant prayer. Constant prayer. See, we pray until we're tired of praying. We pray until we felt good in the Holy Ghost and we think we've already cashed it in and we've done enough. But you've got to pray when your emotions say never mind. You got to pray when your body's too tired. You got to get back there and pray when everything's going against you. It's going to take constant prayer. You know what it means to pray through? It means to pray beyond your feelings and beyond the emotions and beyond the weariness. And don't pray for a feeling, but pray for God to do something in your life. That God could turn things around for you. Simply because your team won last night and they're going to win today. We're on a winning streak. It's been going on for centuries. Because if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? Who could be against us? 356 people a day receiving the Holy Ghost. That's not including North America. That's just our foreign missions, and that's not including all the other apostolic organizations. That's just our little organization. I heard one time there was 200 that believed just like us. And there's some that aren't even organizations that just are having revival. Is that legal? Yeah, it happens. I remember reading a story after Azusa Street. And some people came to America. These people in China had put their money together and paid for a missionary to China to come bring truth to America. And guess what truth it was? It was the same truth that God poured out the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street. They didn't know, but God had given them the truth, and God gives somebody else. God doesn't need a person to find it. He can reveal it to them as long as they have constant prayer, as long as they pray without stopping. It doesn't mean 24/7 prayer, but it means don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your situation, but go to God and pray, and then say, I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to pray, and the next day, I'm going to pray, because my God is going to hear what I say, and something's going to happen, and I'm going to shake heaven until I get my answer. Church, honestly, if there was one thing that I could really impress upon you at any time, it would be this principle. And I know you know it, but I want to keep saying it. It is the answer. It is the answer. You can have wrong motives. You can have the wrong direction. But as long as you're praying, God can do things with you. See, I've been praying in this direction, and because I was praying, the Lord pulled me back around and pulled me into the right direction. And I realized, Lord, if I hadn't have prayed, I would have went the wrong way. But because you're praying, God can turn you the right way. Amen. Prayer will cause you to inspect your heart. It'll cause you to ask the question, why am I doing it? Why am I here? What's motivating me? And so when you pray, you're drawing yourself into the throne room of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You got to pray. And then after that, you're going to have to go back and pray. Constant prayer. That's what the church did, and that's why it made a difference in its world. Constant prayer. But the Bible says an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. What makes chains fall off of hands? Prayer. Church was praying. The prison doors was open. 16 guards couldn't hold him in there. And he walks out thinking it was a vision. And he turns around looking. He's in the middle of the road. Think about it. Middle of Main Street. Street light shining down, if there was one, with maybe it was gas powered. I don't know. But I just kind of picture a light shining down there. And the angel was gone. And then he realized it wasn't a vision. I'm really am real, and I'm really out of prison. Now, here's something that really has always interested me. He goes to the house where everybody was praying for him to get out of prison. And when he knocked on the door, Rhoda, the little girl, came to the door. And she heard him. And she got so excited, she forgot to open the door and let him in. And she ran back and said, it's Simon. It's Simon. And they said, oh, no, no, it might be his angel, but it's not him. Wait a minute, what are y'all here for? You're here past midnight. What are you praying for? We're praying that Simon Peter gets out of prison. An individual had to admit that. If I picked an individual out of this church and I just said, you know, tell me, sister, tell me, brother, what did they say? Well, they were praying for him to get out of prison. It's to say that. Individually, I don't know about that. I'm praying for it to happen individually. But when you put the collective voices together, when we put our hearts and minds together and we pray for the same thing, constant prayer got him out of prison. And when he got out there, it's like, how in the world did that happen? See, your faith doesn't have to be perfect for God to do perfect things. Prayer is just that bridge, and it's kind of rickety sometimes. The faith is a little rickety sometimes, but if we can just hold ourselves together and we can agree, God can do great things, church. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We got room in this building. We got room. We got a parking lot that's a little bit of room. We can still put some folks in here. And then we can always go to another service. But I don't ever want to get content and look around. And some of these Sundays, you know, I've got up here and looked and thought, Lord, you're blessing this church. That's a great crowd. I don't ever want the crowd to cause me to feel a amount of contentment to where I fail to go into my closet of prayer. And I don't pray one day because this looks like we finally made it, because we haven't. I'm not here, and we're not here to try to fill up a sanctuary. We're not here to see how big we can grow. We're here to continue to call on God to bless us with the Holy Ghost and to fill people, and that we can baptize them in His name. We're here to do the work of God, and whatever direction God takes us, Lord, let it be. But we're not going to get to a place, not while I'm here, where we can finally say, oh, we've arrived. Let's just say, soul, take thine ease. You got many souls laid up. Oh, Lord, don't let us get to that place. I want to go to Acts 12 and 19. When Herod had searched for him and found him not, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and he stayed there. Now, this is the same Herod that put him in prison. Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, having made Blastus the king's personal aide their friend. So they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. It's a little town that says, you know, our economy's terrible, but we want to really butter up this king, so that he can send funds our way to help us out, because we really have need of food. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting. Remember, they had a motive. We need the food that he's going to give us. We need that money. And so the people were worshiping him. The voice of a God and not a man. The voice of a God and not a man. Realized they had a motive. But he got puffed up. It puffed him up. Now here's the guy that killed James and tried to kill Peter. And he got puffed up. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. He was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God. He was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The church that prayed constantly, they got Simon out of prison. But Big Daddy Herod, dressed up in his royal attire, allowed them to pronounce him a god and not a man. And the word said he should have given God the glory, but he wasn't going to do that, because he didn't realize it's God that lifts up and puts down. And you could have had no power, Herod, if it weren't given to you by God. As Jesus once said to Pilate. But because his mind was not in the right place, and he thought that he himself was somebody great, he fell dead and was eaten by worms. That's the other side. That's the other team. Understand, we are on the winning side. I read an account of this in some history books, Bible history, and it says it probably took about 2 hours that he laid right there. This is not something that happened in the emergency room and they couldn't fix him and the word got out, well, he passed. No, it was a public display of humiliation and a humiliating death. And it was gruesome and gross. But it was a sign to a man that would not give God the glory. And it went too far and touched one of God's anointed. See, Herod wanted to harass some of the church. There's a word that works really well. And I want to just tell you, because sometimes you feel like the enemy has just got your number. And I know this is a little more pastoring than evangelistic preaching. I understand that. But I'm the pastor. But listen, we give up on things we're praying for too easy. We just give up. We give up. Now, there's times we need to give up. I remember the little kid. I heard him on another aisle. And he was crying and crying and crying. His mom was talking to him. And she said, I said no. I said no. I'm not getting you that. I'm not getting you that. And then I heard her say, if you ask me one more time, I'm taking the toys that you do have. And you're not getting to get them. I thought, I got to see this. I walked over there. I looked. Little boy's arms were loaded with toys. and he couldn't even point. And he was just saying, "Mom, I want that one. I want that one." And he had an armload, and she was threatening. I don't think she was going to follow through. She was threatening that she would put those back if he didn't behave himself. Sometimes the problem with humanity is we want something, and we ask God for it, and while we're looking at him, we look past him and see something else we want, and it's just wanting and wanting. But when we get into the presence and the will of God, then we learn how to pray in the Spirit according to the will of the Holy Ghost. He'll give you the things you ask for, but he wants a commitment from you that you will live for him and follow him. He'll give you the job you're asking for. He'll give you the family you've asked for, but you got to go to him in prayer and do it constantly. And if you do that, you will have the greatest thing God could ever give you.